So today I'd like to draw our attention to humility and honesty, particularly as the focus of prerequisites for spiritual growth. And when thinking about spiritual growth, I thought to myself, when is the last time I reflected on my own spiritual growth, right? How often do we think about how we're growing spiritually? And I was reminded of a plant that I used to have. So my grandmother, I'm from Akron, Ohio. My grandmother was born and raised until 12 in Alabama. All my family on both sides is from Alabama. She gets plants and she pots them and talks to them and they grow and she tends to them and it's a beautiful thing. I, on the other hand, often don't do so well with my plants. But she given me a plant when I moved away for undergrad. I was 18 and I had the plant probably for 9 years. So to me, that was like a big deal. I kept this plant alive. But the Lord will often use this plant as a thermometer for my own spiritual growth. And at first I didn't realize it. But then I started to kind of pay attention. So I was pretty forgetful when it came to plants, probably why I don't have a lot of them. And so I often would forget to water the plant. Or I would put it in the corner of the room where there was no light by the window, so then the plant would just kind of sit there. I would often forget to, like, replant, so plants grow, right? Their roots spread. But I just left it in that same little pot. She gave it to me for, like, 5 years. So then the plant can't really grow if it has no room for the roots to spread. So eventually I did repot the plant, got a bigger pot. I only did it once in these 9 years. That probably wasn't the right thing to do. But I repotted the plant, and it grew. It got bigger. But then I got really busy. So about this time, I was in graduate school, working on my doctorate, worked like 3 jobs. It was ridiculous. Don't do that here. And I would forget to water the plant, or I would leave for an extended period of time and come back, water the plant, would drink all the water, water it again, and it would still kind of be hanging on, right? But it would be looking a little sad. And the Lord will always say to me, so if the plant can't grow if it's not being watered, then how do you expect to go if you're not spending time in the Word, which is supposed to water yourself? And I would say, okay. Or if you are unwilling to get out of your comfort zone, which is this little pot, and go into this bigger pot that I'm trying to push you toward, how can you expect to reach the potential that I told you I needed you to get to? And I would say, again. Okay. And so over the course of these years, this plant was really just kind of this thermometer, to the point where I, like, when it died, I was like, oh, Jesus, I don't want to be dead, please revive me, right? So this is kind of how, one way in which the Lord used this plant to kind of monitor my growth. And so I thought it would be important for us to take some time to look at and reflect on our own growth. And two things that the Lord really kind of pushed on my heart in the last few months is that humility and honesty are the prerequisites for growth, our spiritual growth. And all of us are probably familiar with the idea of prerequisites, right? So if you're involved in the education system at all, you know that there are certain things that you have to do in order to move to a next level. So there's a certain class you have to take. There's even certain requirements you have to meet before you can get admitted into a program. There's certain experiences you have to go through before you can complete your degree. If you're in the workforce, there's certain requirements you have to have before you can be promoted or get a certain job. And oftentimes, we think of these prerequisites as things we have to do in order to move forward. Sometimes, though, there are certain things that we can skip, right? So sometimes you can get a job even if you don't meet those prerequisites. Say they really like you. You had some really good experience. You know somebody. Or sometimes you can appeal to not have to take this class or use a different class. Or if you're just really that gifted, they'll say, we'll just skip that and you can keep moving forward. But this is not the case in our spiritual growth. God does not allow us to skip prerequisites, particularly this idea of humility and honesty. If we do not get that, then we're just kind of stuck. We don't grow. And so I would argue that it's really important for us to consider those two things. Richard Rohr, he's a Franciscan friar, and he argues that the only people who grow in truth are those who are humble and honest. Humility and honesty are really the same thing. A humble person is simply someone who is naturally honest about their own truth. You and I came along a few years ago. We're going to be gone in a few more years. And the only response to such a mystery is humility. Humility is the soil in which grace grows. If the Bible tells us that grace, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, and he gives favor to those who are humble, then we need to cultivate that soil in our own lives so that we can grow. So when we were presented with this scripture, this passage about a story about a father who's seeking healing for his son, what we see is that this father brings his son to the disciples. He asks them to be healed. They can't do it. This starts an argument. The teachers of the law, the crowd, they're all there arguing about this. Jesus is coming down from just being transfigured with his closest friends, right? He just came down. He's like, what are y'all arguing about? Like, get it together. What's happening? And this father says, hey, let me tell you what's going on, right? And based on this interaction between Jesus and this father, I think we can learn a lot about honesty and humility. The first thing that I think we can learn is that we have to be humble and honest about where we are currently. If we reread verses 17 through 18 and verse 21, it tells us that someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." If we go down to verse 21, it says, Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood." So the first thing we have to do is be honest about where we currently are, about our situation and circumstances. This son's father did not hesitate to tell Jesus the real. He was like, look, my son is possessed. This has been happening since childhood. These are all the features of this. And I think sometimes we struggle to do that. We struggle to be honest with ourselves and with other people about where we are. And I think some of the things that we have to stop and think about are, what's the state that I'm in? What's the place that I'm currently in? Where am I today? And if we look at this father's confession, he wasn't confessing any sin in particular. He was just saying, this is where we are. And we have to be honest about those things. So we have to consider, am I in an overwhelmed place? Am I in a fearful place? Am I in a place of uncertainty, weariness, apathy, self-denial? Where am I? And I think that this is really an individual question that we have to take some time to personally respond to. But I also think that we need to consider this as a collective question that we ask ourselves about, where's my family? Where am we as a community? Where are we as an institution? Where are we as a body of believers? What place are we in? Are we in a place that's really embedded with systems of oppression and racism? Are we in a place of fear and worry about politics and political power? Are we in a place of uncertainty and unsure of what is going to happen in the future? Are we in a place of apathy? Are we tired of trying and not seeing any results? Are we in a place of denial? Are we unwilling to admit our role in the problem? We have to ask ourselves where we are. And we have to be honest about our place, because our place, being honest about our place, precedes healing. And if we're not honest, healing can't happen. The second thing we have to learn, or we can gather from this text, is that we have to be humble and honest about our need for help. So if we go back to this text and we read verses 21 and 23, Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. It's often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." So if we look at this text, the father was very honest about his need for help. And I imagine that this wasn't the first time that the father was honest about this. I know that he brought his son to see the disciples and then subsequently brought them to see Jesus, but I'm sure he probably took them to some doctors, some diviners. He probably took them to the religious leaders, and everyone couldn't help him. And yet he was still honest and humble enough to come to Jesus and say, "This is where we are. If you can help, please help." The Bible tells us that humility attracts God's attention. Isaiah 66:2 says that these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And humility is simply honesty, assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. It's essentially agreeing with God about who we are and who he is. And it's basically saying, God, you are everything and I am nothing, and that's okay, because when I give myself to you, you then make me all I need to be. But sometimes we want to do a lot of things on our own, and we kind of forget to be honest about our need for help. We don't want to admit that. And I would ask yourself, what are the things that get in the way of you being honest and humble about your need for help? Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it wanting it to be that you have everything together? Are you afraid that if you say you need help, then somehow you're not being a model servant, a model believer? I will argue that that's not the case at all. And that in this passage, Jesus actually asked the Father and kind of creates a context in which he's basically saying, come be honest about what you need. The third thing that we need to learn is that we have to be humble and honest enough to admit we have doubts about what we aspire for. So, again, if we go back and we read Mark 22, Mark 22, it says, the B part of that says, if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. There's no doubt that this father wanted his son to be healed. There's no doubt. He came to the crowd. Disciples couldn't help him. He didn't leave. If it was me and I brought my child to the disciples or the person I thought was the Messiah and they couldn't help him, I probably would leave. Like, deuces, I'm done. I don't want to stay around. That's what it is. But he didn't leave. An argument started about his situation. And the religious leaders were there, probably causing the argument, like, oh, why could you do this? You're supposed to be with Jesus, right? He stayed. Jesus came and said, what is the argument about? He didn't let anybody, he didn't give anybody any time to kind of input their opinion. He said, teacher, I brought my son. They couldn't heal him. This is what it is, right? And he was honest with Jesus about his situation. So even after he said, this spirit has been afflicting my son from childhood, if you can do anything, help, I believe. And then he even said, but I still have some doubt. Right? Oftentimes we'll say, I believe, right? But we won't admit that we still have some doubt. This father was a prime example of what it means to be honest about what we aspire for and also the things that we have doubts about. And it's okay for us to have doubts. So if we go back to, I need to figure out what place I'm in, and we say, you know, as an institution or a community, we're in this place where we're struggling with race. We're in this place where we're struggling with class. We want it to be different, but it's been this way for so long, we don't know if we can have anything different. I imagine that's what the father felt. I really want my son to be healed, but this is the only son I've known, and he's been afflicted for so long that I don't even know what life would be like if he wasn't afflicted anymore. But Jesus wasn't upset about this. Jesus was more upset about this crowd around than his father, right? And we also have to be humble enough to hear God calling us to be honest. So Jesus did not get mad at this man when he said, if you can do anything, please help. He responded with a promise. All things are possible for the one who believes. He didn't respond to his doubt by saying, oh man, you didn't hear about my miracles. You didn't hear about how I made this water and wine. You didn't hear about how I gave this blind man sight. What? You didn't hear about how my daddy told me that I was his beloved son when I got baptized and I was pleased. You didn't hear about any of that? Why you have this doubt? He didn't do that. He said, if you can, anything is possible for the one who believes. And in response, the father was able to say, I do believe, and I still have doubt. Can you still help? Right? And then that, after that, Jesus proceeded to heal him. I would say that in the same way that Jesus kind of is coaxing this man to be honest about his doubt, the Holy Spirit does that with us. The Bible tells us that in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I believe that truth is not just the things that we think God wants to hear or the things that we think other people want to hear, but it's the true truth about where we are as an individual and a collective, and the ability that being honest about that truth allows God to do his own work. So let's read Mark 9:25-27 again. When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. The thing that I appreciate the most about this story is that it demonstrates that change and transformation and growth is not always pretty, right? Jesus could have healed this boy, and it could have been like, the spirit is gone, you're healed, and now you're dancing and jiving around the streets, right? But that wasn't the case. The process by which this boy was healed was so violent, it had been inflicting him for so long that the people just assumed that he was dead. Like, there's no way he could have made it through this, right? But the beautiful thing about the story is that even though they assumed he was dead and they didn't think he could make it through the process, Jesus just took his hand, lifted him up, and he stood up. I think for us, that for some of us, our spiritual growth, our journey has shaken us so much that people around us might assume that we're dead. They might assume that we couldn't make it through the healing that God desired to give us. We might even be in a place where God is continuing to grow us and heal us, and we might think ourselves that we don't have anything left. But the beautiful part of this story is that there's a "but Jesus" moment for us too. If we look at verse 27, it starts with, "But Jesus took him by the hand." When I was preparing for this sermon, I was like, oh, reading. And one day I got up, one morning I got up and I read it and said, "But Jesus took him by the hand." All day long, I just kept thinking, I'm so glad that Jesus can take me by my hand and lift me up. And he can do the same for us. But in order for him to do that, we have to be humble and we have to be honest about where we are, about the fact that we need help, and the fact that we aspire for healing, but we also have doubts about our ability to get there.